You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Houston, standing by. Over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Hello, Houston. He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. We're Jeremy and Joe. AJ behind the glass. No Brian today. What a surprise. Brian's not working. Dude misses more days than anybody I've ever been around. They're a full-time staffer that misses more days of work than Brian McDonald.
No.
Twitch is happy about it. Twitch loves when Brian's not here. I don't know why.
They also like when I'm not here, so.
That's true.
It's reality.
Yeah, I'm not sure they like anybody.
That's true.
On the Twitch. They feed off of each other. I think they might like each other. But lots to get to today. Astro offseason's going to start after the World Series. But I'm hearing some things. I'm hearing some things, Joe. People are telling me things. People like to tell me things for some reason. I don't know why. I guess they think I'm a good listener. They're like, you know what? That Brano, he can listen a little bit. But McTaggart had an interesting nugget as well. So we'll get to some Astro stuff a little bit later. College football stuff a little bit later. Cash 'em or trash 'em. We got a little mailbag Wednesday with Jeremy and Joe as well. Busy, busy, busy show. Maybe a framework of a Will Anderson contract.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that. CJ Stroud maybe has his swagger back, maybe has his groove back. He says that things are fixed. Do we believe that? CJ Stroud still thinks he's very good. Do we still believe that? World Series going on, cold front through the city of Houston, but we lead with John Mechie has been traded.
Ooh.
John Mechie is being traded from the Philadelphia Eagles to the New York Jets, Joe. He's now on his third team in 8 months?
The only former Texan on his third team in 8 months either.
Who's the other?
CJ Gardner-Johnson.
Yeah, you would go to a Bears thing off
John,
the bat.
John Mechie, move to New York.
Look at you, immediately. You mentioned 1 minute, new record.
No Garrett Wilson.
Let's write that down. 1 minute mentioning the Chicago Bears, new world record.
Yep. No Garrett Wilson, John Mechie saving the day.
Yeah.
That's got to be a tough life,
I got to make a note of that. I think it was like a minute 48 before you mentioned the Chicago Bears. A minute 48.
It was relevant.
Record for Joe to mention Chicago. Brian has Brian's personal best is 2:02 before he interrupts us. So we got a couple of records, a couple of thresholds that we're keeping track of.
What are we tracking for you?
That's ever beat. I don't know how many times I say go Cougs in a show.
Can we count that high?
I don't say it that many times.
I know.
Depends. Depends on the time of year. Depends on the day. Depends if I have reads for Houston.
But they're really good this year, so you're saying it more.
When has Houston not been really good, Joe?
It was okay last year.
You're talking about football?
Yeah, football, yeah.
Okay, all right. Because we've been a national powerhouse in basketball for quite some time.
Yeah, for like,
hope you've been paying attention.
Like a decade?
Oh, I did get confirmation. Herm Dog's going to join us tomorrow.
Let's go.
Tom Herman will be on with us tomorrow at 5 o'clock. Herm Dog. I was a little worried he was ghosting me.
Yeah, went from getting ghosted to coming on the show tomorrow.
I was meditating, and I got a call as I was meditating, but I didn't have the phone with me because I was meditating. And you know, I thought it could be the shop.
We called you.
It could be the shop or my wife's car. I didn't tell you who called me yet, Joe. Oh. I was meditating and my phone rang, and I heard it from outside the room I was meditating in. And I heard it ring. I was like, well, okay. You know, whenever you're not by your phone, but you're going to check it, you kind of guess, like, who could it have been? Like, I think everybody has that thought process. Like, who's calling me? Okay, it could be this people. It could be this guy, that guy, spam 90% of the time. But my wife's car's in the shop, so they've been calling me with updates. Like, okay, it could have been them. Sucks that I missed that call. My computer has been in the shop because the I button on my computer has not worked. So that got fixed today. So it's like, okay, maybe they're calling me to come pick it up, which I do got. I do have it, and it's a world of difference. I didn't think it'd be the Herm Dog. So I went and checked the phone, And I had a text from him, too. He's like, hey, call me back when you get a minute. So I called him back. We had a five-minute conversation, and he's coming on the show tomorrow at 5.
I can't wait to talk to him.
Herm Dog, we'll talk to him about the 2015 Peach Bowl Championship mm-hmm. team that will be honored at TD ECU Stadium Saturday. He'll be there. So we'll talk to him about that. We'll talk to him about the current landscape. See, that's not me.
I know. I was like waiting for you to say it.
And we'll talk to him about the current landscape of college football, what it's like to coach at this time of year, what it's like to be a hot commodity, a hot name, rumored to go to a bunch of different jobs this time of year. How do you keep your team's focus? But we'll get his perspective on things as a former coach in the business, not that far removed. But Herm Dog tomorrow at 5. We're also going to be at the Cadillac Bar tomorrow. So if you're over in that area, Shepherd, you can hang out with Jeremy and Joe, see our ugly mugs, and you're going to have a great time. I think Brian's going to be back, so you can see all of our ugly mugs. It'll be fantastic. Joe, did it feel a little bit like Chicago? If people don't know, Joe is from Chicago. Did it feel a little bit like Chicago today?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It was
outside.
Windy, and it was very, very cold. I see you're wearing a hoodie, softy.
Yep. It's hoodie season now.
So soft.
It's hoodie season.
You get a little cold front coming. It's 70 degrees outside right now, and you're wearing a hoodie.
You don't get to wear them very often, so you wear them when you can. It's hoodie season. It is very windy. I went and got gas this morning.
Flex.
And over at the gas for my car is a Flex. Okay.
Yeah. You have a vehicle? How
I
cool
do.
Is that?
At the gas station over here, there's a phone store next to it.
Oh, okay? That is a Flex. You got gas around here?
Yeah, it was
that's marked up 25%.
It's because I wasn't paying attention. It was because I was being a dummy.
Sheesh.
And there's a phone store, and they have this metal sign out front of the phone store.
Is that by the Greek place?
Yep, it is. That's the gas station.
I love that place.
It's great.
You ever get the Euros there?
They're very good.
They're so good.
And this metal sign, all of a sudden, I'm walking away from my car, and I hear it moving. Next thing I look over, it hit my car. That's how windy it was.
Oh, it popped it into it? Did it do any damage?
No. It just was just move. It was just, the whole thing was moving. My hat flew off in the parking lot. I had to chase my hat down in the parking lot looking like a moron.
What time was this?
12:30.
Did anybody see you?
Yes.
It's interesting. You wouldn't think you'd see a full moon at 12:30.
Yeah. It's pretty empty up there. As Sam Rico said on our Halloween graphics, Joe's going bald.
Do our junkies have any cold weather stories? I'm actually wearing a winter jacket myself today because it's very frigid. First cold front in Houston. You dust off the winter jackets. You dust off the hoodies. You dust off the sweaters. Any good
winter
cold
jackets?
Stories?
You just called me soft for wearing a hoodie. You just mentioned winter jackets.
I got a little bullpen jacket.
You cold?
I got a bullpen jacket. No, it's for the bit.
Okay.
It's for the bit. First cool front I'm going to wear, I'm going to dust off the bullpen jacket. Good this on. Is what the pitchers wear
it
in
looks
the bullpen.
Nice.
Yeah. Just keep my arm fresh.
Yeah.
Junkie says how quickly Jeremy disagrees with someone's a good one. It's not bad.
That's true.
That is bad. People always say I disagree with them. I don't disagree with people that have good takes. If you say something smart, if you have a good take and don't suck, if you say something that I agree with, I'm not going to disagree with you. It's not my fault that other people have bad takes and say stupid things. That's not my fault. It's your fault.
I guess
it's like
yeah.
when you punish your kids. It's not me. It's not my fault that I'm punishing the children. It's the children's fault for acting poorly that I then have to punish them. So that's the same thing with me disagreeing.
That's fair.
Say something, not you specifically, but you generally speaking, say something stupid, say something that's very disagreeable. It's not my fault.
You just don't agree with a lot of things.
If it's stupid.
That's true.
If it's stupid, if it's not a good take, yeah. What'd you think of this World Series game yesterday? Blue Jays even the series, 6-2. Everybody, Shohei Ohtani, he's so great. Greatest baseball player of all time.
Unicorn.
Would Barry Bonds give up 4 runs in 6 innings? Of course not.
He would not.
He wouldn't. Would Babe Ruth give up 4 runs in 6 innings? Of course not. He wouldn't. Ohtani tagged with the lost yesterday. Oh, he's the greatest of all time. He can't even win a World Series game, Joe.
It's true.
The modern-day Justin Verlander.
That's mean. That's mean.
What?
Why are you doing that to JV?
He got one.
JV got one.
Got one.
Ohtani didn't pitch in the last one, so you're right. I mean, the game was good. I didn't think the Blue Jays were going to win, to be honest with you. I thought this thing was over after the marathon game. I just kind of assumed the Dodgers were going to walk all over them, and this thing was going to be over in 5. So I was impressed with the Blue Jays responding that way. Vlad Guerrero Jr., he's so underrated.
Yeah, he's very good. I mean, he got paid a lot of money.
Like, or maybe underappreciated better is better.
Okay.
But like, I just feel like he's not put, maybe it's because he plays in Canada. Like, he's not put in that conversation with the best of the best baseball players. But he's nasty. He's in 419 in the playoffs.
Right yeah, now. I mean, I don't know if I agree with that.
Why?
I don't know if we underrate Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
I think we do. I think it's kind of similar to Jose Ramirez, where the ball knowers, they know. But to the average fan, I feel like they get left in the left behind a little bit.
His name is Vladimir Guerrero. He's literally the namesake of a Hall of Famer. He's the son of a Hall of Famer. I don't know that we underrate Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
I think we do.
I think that Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is talked about as one of the better hitters in baseball.
I don't think
he
so.
He certainly paid like he's one of the best hitters in baseball. I don't think we underrate him. I really don't. Do we underrate Vladimir Guerrero Jr.? 713-780-3776. Have you seen that at Fall of the Expos thing yet?
I have not watched yet.
Yeah, I'm saving it for a flight. I have it downloaded on my phone, but I'm saving it for a flight. Probably next Friday I'm going to watch it.
I might watch it Thursday.
But I thought of that. No, this is fun, man. Like, you have a competitive World Series. I'm rooting for the Blue Jays, openly admitting that. Rooting for the Blue Jays. I hate the L.A. Dodgers. Not a fan of the L.A. Dodgers. Obviously, they spend a lot of money. I hate big market teams unless they're in Houston. Some people might push back and say Houston's not a big market. It's certainly not as big as L.A. Certainly not as big as New York. So we can agree there. But they spend all this money. They have like smart bankers, so they defer the money. They pay Shohei Ohtani $700 million, and they're probably getting $3 billion in revenue because they have Shohei Ohtani. Mookie Betts cheated just as bad as the Astros and openly admitted it, yet he doesn't get booed like the Houston Astros. I don't like Dave Roberts. He's got a punchable face. They signed JT Watkins, the video guy from Boston, who was an open and confessed cheater, and they're like, oh, yeah, we're just going to sign him, and nobody bats an eye. I actually do like Andrew Friedman. I think he's a sharp general manager. But I hate the Los Angeles Dodgers. So I love when they lose. I like that the Blue Jays have made this a series. It is going to Toronto. So here's my solace. Even if the Dodgers win this World Series, Joe, even if they win this World Series, they're not clinching it at home. They're going to have to go. They're not even going to win a World Series title in America this season. So I do like that from that aspect alone. But I'm still pulling for these Blue Jays. I'm still pulling that they could pull off the upset. It's also kind of crazy that Miles Straw is like a main contributor for a World Series caliber team. It's weird to me.
Even with Springer out, it's like he's been playing quite a bit. Like with the Bichette injury before that, like the trickle down effect was like Straw is out there. It's strange to see him playing left field or right field at times.
He's all over the
postseason.
He's all over the place. He's like starting some games.
Playing in a World Series, Miles Straw.
Yeah.
What a trade for James Click.
What's that?
What a trade for James Click.
How is James Click not employed?
You're right. People must not like him. We said this when the Rockies turned him down. Unless he turned down the Rockies job, which would be smart, because who would want that job? But he's got to be one of the hot GM candidates going forward.
You would think, but
like
he's not.
He's good here. Toronto. I know he's not the GM in Toronto. Like having success in Toronto would make him in line to be a dude. But last night's game was a really impressive performance from the Blue Jays, and I'm glad it's going back to Toronto because I'm with you. I hate the Dodgers. I don't want the Dodgers to win.
Am I crazy to say that this Blue Jays lineup doesn't really look all that intimidating?
It's not that intimidating.
Give me one of the guy. Did you see the story where like Correa called Springer? Because the Blue Jays hitting coach is from Minnesota, but they fired him like he was a scapegoat for their previous year. And then they quickly brought him in and like they're giving him all the credit for like turning this offense around. Like, I hope maybe he has like a right-hand man that the Astros can poach because the Blue Jays, they're exceeding their offensive expectation all season long. Like, you look at their lineup. Okay, Vlad Guerrero Jr., one of the best hitters in baseball. People have famously always said that. Always talk about the excellence and greatness of one Vladimir Guerrero Jr. And look, Springer's had a really good year. You know, hasn't had a great time in Toronto.
But this year's
been
good.
Down. Injuries have plagued him. But, like, you know, Addison Barger, where did he come from? Bichette has been a good big leaguer, but he was hurt for most of the season. It was terrible last year. It's like, you look at this lineup on paper, and it's like, meh. But then you like, look at the numbers, like, wow, they are absolutely dominating. People have been accusing them of cheating again from the hotel. They've been so good offensively.
I mean, I would assume.
I think is a term of endearment these days.
Yeah, you accuse someone of cheating. Like, it's the Dodgers are being accused of it in one game, the Blue Jays in the next game. They're all being accused of it. That just means you're good at baseball.
Yeah.
If you're not being accused of cheating, your team's not good.
Yeah.
Like, so it's a term of endearment. You're right.
I want this. But yeah, cool that the Blue Jays won that game. We'll see what happens tonight. But the series definitely going back to Toronto, which is good. Junkie on the text line. Oops, the Killer Jays underrate him, but he's definitely top tier. Do we underrate him? Like, I haven't talked much about Vladimir Guerrero Jr. in my radio life, but every time I talk about him, it's in glowing terms.
Okay,
like,
so
how do I underrate him?
So last Junkie? Year. Okay, so MLB.com did their top 100 players in baseball.
Okay.
In 2024, this is where my mind's at, okay? I'm in 2024 mind. They had Vlad Guerrero Jr. ranked as the 52nd best player in baseball.
He didn't have a great year in 2024 or whatever it was.
But, like, he's still awesome. And then last year he was ranked, going to the season, he was ranked 13th. So now it's correct.
You know what I think? I think he's properly rated, Joe. I think he's always been properly rated.
Properly rated. It's the 13th best player in baseball.
That's pretty high.
No, I think I'd agree with that.
That was a down year when he was ranked 40-something. Still got paid, though.
52nd, but...
Yeah, yeah, he had a down year. Deserved to be 52nd after a down year. Junkie, does Alejandro Kirk give faith to 97.5 employees who are pursuing playing professional sports? I don't think any of us are pursuing playing professional sports. I remember when I went to that Rays baseball game. Yeah. I went to the Rays Blue Jays baseball game 3-4 years ago. I caught that baseball right there, that foul ball. Alejandro Kirk was there, and they showed his measurements. He's like 5'8", 230.
Yeah.
I was like, man, it sounds like my kind of guy.
So he does give me hope.
It's like the spitting image of Branham.
Yeah.
Well, 5'8", 235, my kind of guy. I turned on the baseball game for a moment last night in the bedroom, and my wife saw Alejandro Kirk batting. It just so happened. And he was like, she goes, oh, that's a big boy.
He is.
Oh, that's a big boy. Junkie, first glazing Katie's jump shot yesterday and now Vladdy. Junkie, what's your obsession with that word? I think that you're glazing your glazing text. I'm a little uncomfortable with how much you use that word. At least Joe's face will be warm with that powder stash growing under his nose. I like to say powder. I see a little bit
you
of
say,
powder.
You say powder stash, it makes it sound like it's something much more nefarious.
Well, I thought I saw that. Does Joe's hoodie have sleeves?
Yes.
409 Josh, it does. Paying almost $4 per gallon is a flex, Joe. Meanwhile, I go to Costco for $2.20.
Wasn't a flex. I just didn't realize I was out of gas.
Do you know in some other states you can get it without like the, what is it, the methanol or whatever?
Nope, didn't know.
Yeah, that. You have options. Ethanol, not methanol, ethanol.
You've ever been one of the states where they pump the gas for you?
They still have those, I think.
That's strange.
Up in the Northeast where they have unions.
Don't understand it.
They have unions.
I just want to pump my own gas.
Joe is right. There are very few opportunities to wear cold weather clothing down here, so you take them when you can get them, says Eric the Buyer.
Always liked Eric the Buyer.
Mm-hmm. Going to an event at East River 9 tomorrow night. What's the go-to order on the menu? I like that. I forget what it's called, but the spicy chicken sandwich.
I think it's the hot bird chicken.
Okay.
That's what it's called.
Yeah, it's good.
I like the quesadillas. That. I know some adults don't eat quesadillas.
You have the palate of a 5-year-old.
they're really good. They're brisket quesadillas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, those are – I've never had those because I'm not seven. But they always look good. They look good. I get the spicy chicken. Spicy chicken's pretty good. Okay, off and rolling, Jeremy and Joe, 713-780-ESPN. A bunch of ways that you can view us if you're a sicko. Twitch.tv/ESPN975. YouTube at ESPN Houston. TikTok, ESPN975. Twitter as well. You can interact with us there as well. ESPN 975. Joe's at Joe George Radio. I'm at Jeremy Brandon. When we come back, is CJ Stroud right? CJ Stroud says they got things fixed. Do you believe him? Did the Texans offense get things fixed? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 975 and ESPN 92.5.
YouTube TV customers, you could lose ESPN and the sports you love, including college football, college game day, Monday night football, NBA, college basketball, and more. Take action by going to keepmynetworks.com to keep ESPN.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 in HD, 97.9 HD2.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Junkie, it's not unions that mandate that someone pumps your gas emoji. It's state law in New Jersey. Oregon used to also be one, but they changed the law in 2023. What's the difference? Law, union, Northeast, whatever. Joe's always flexing his silver spoon, raised in the best neighborhood, spends $4 on gas.
Whatever.
Eric the Buyer, thanks, Joe. I think you're pretty good most of the time, too. Is tomorrow a free meet and greet at Cadillac Bar? I know Jeremy enjoys meeting the listeners. I do enjoy meeting the listeners. I don't know where that I sense some sarcasm there, Joe. I don't know why there would be sarcasm there.
Yeah, I don't know either. You like meeting people.
I do. I like meeting people.
You going to bring your microphone?
Sure. Okay. I will. I'll bring my microphone. So if you want to walk up to us, we'll give you a microphone, and there you go. A little live mic night, the Cadillac Bar with Jeremy and Joe. No, I like meeting listeners. I don't think there's ever been one listener that said something poorly after meeting me.
That's true.
I don't think
so.
Well,
not to your face, at least.
Yeah, if behind my back, and if they did that, they're incredibly soft.
It's true.
Hey, Joe, can you travel to the Caribbean and talk Texans?
No.
Why not?
Okay.
Why can't I read that?
Keep reading it.
713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. So C.J. Stroud, after the Texans played a good game against the Niners, which Stroud looked really good, watched some film of it yesterday, today, put my film work together, watch film that only I can. You'll see that stuff coming out tomorrow on my in the morning on my Twitter at Jeremy Branham. Toro, he's trendy. Toro keeps track of the trends, something that I caught on. Again, you know, watching film that only I can. Toro's doing some stuff that you can tell he is he's up with the current trends in society.
Really?
Toro, I caught him. Okay. I caught Toro. Watch film only like I can. But C.J. Stroud, and look, I thought he played really well. He said that they got things fixed. Do you believe C.J. Stroud? Did the Houston Texans get the offense fixed?
No. I do not believe that. I think they took a step in the right direction to it being fixed. But something we talked about yesterday is that the red zone stuff for me and the short yardage situations is where it wasn't improved enough to say it's fixed. And while it's a good win because the Niners are still a good team with all their injuries, they're still pretty beat up. And even though Patrick Surtain's not going to play this weekend, like, you want to prove it's fixed, do what you did this last weekend against Denver, and I'm in. It's fixed then. But one game sample against a team that's heavily beat up with injuries, I can't just say it's fixed.
Two game sample worked for you, though?
Because Denver's legit, yes.
Okay.
It's enough signs where I'm like, okay. Like, if you actually go, because I don't believe they're going to do that.
You have no faith in the Texans.
I think they can win this weekend. I think it makes sense of why they're favored when you look at who the Broncos have played this year. The quality of opponent's not exactly super strong. You have maybe the best defense in the NFL. But, like, to say the offense is fixed after, you know, like, your performances against Tennessee and Baltimore, and, well, then you played Seattle. Like, you got to prove to me that you're not that team.
No, I'm not ready to make that claim either. I'm just kind of devil's advocate here. Now, the Broncos don't have Surtain this weekend. He's gonna miss some time. Broncos, statistically, Joe, have the fifth-best defense in the NFL in terms of total yards, and they also have the fifth-best defense in the NFL in terms of points allowed per game. So this is a very good litmus test. It's going to be the best litmus test since Seattle. It may be the best litmus test all year, but you do get them at home. Like, of the two options, which scenario do the Texans have a better chance to have success? Home at Denver, home against Denver, or at Seattle?
Home against Denver.
I think so, too.
Especially without Surtain.
See, I would say Seattle was a more difficult test than Denver.
Yeah.
Even though Denver statistically is better.
Yeah, now Denver gets after the quarterback like Seattle does.
Yeah.
So, like, that's ultimately what this game's probably going to come down to, is how do you block, you know, Nick Bonito and all these guys that are just getting after people on a daily basis, it feels like. So how do you handle that? But, yeah, this is the easier of the two matchups, I would say. Seattle's a much harder place to win.
Stroud said they got things fixed. Do you believe that they got things fixed? 713-780-3776. Here was C.J. Stroud after the game. Sounds to me like he kind of gets his swagger back a little bit. That confidence for C.J. Stroud is still there. It's still in him. He said he's very confident. He believes that he's very good at football.
Okay.
He says whenever he's dealing and rolling, he can still be very one of the best.
Well, when he's dealing and rolling, yeah, he can be one of the best, but he's got to be dealing and rolling to be one of the best. He's got to do it consistently.
He's got to have protection.
Well, that's
a team game.
That's where it ultimately comes down to.
You got to keep him upright. You got to give him time to succeed.
He was back there all the time. Like, this, it reminded me of, like, the stuff we were seeing early in the offseason, like in the Panthers inter-squad practices, where he was just back there forever. If he has time, C.J. Stroud can dice him up, but so can most quarterbacks in the NFL, right? I'd say a majority.
I think it depends on the amount of time. I don't agree. Like, Justin Fields, like, is he going to dice you up?
No.
You hate Geno Smith. Is Geno Smith going to dice you up?
Probably not.
Yeah. Like, I do think
Seattle he would have, but not now.
If you just want average time to throw, you just took, like, okay, what is the average time to throw in the NFL? And then you gave every quarterback that amount of time, like, who would look the best based on that. Mm-hmm. So basically everybody has the same offensive line. Every quarterback has the same offensive line. Every quarterback is seeing the same rate of pressure. Where would C.J. Stroud stack up, do you think?
Probably, I mean, this is where I'd feel comfortable putting back in that 10 yeah. range. Like, he still belongs in that category of player when he has time to throw. Because that's when we've always seen him at his best, whether it's his rookie year, last year, or so far this season. When he has time, when he's not worried about getting, you know, slaughtered like it's been most of the last 3 years for him. He's a very good quarterback. So that's where saying it's fixed, that's to me is what is the question of what's fixed. Like, is the receiver room good? Well, yeah, we saw Nico Collins return to practice today. We saw Christian Kirk return to practice today. That's a positive. But can you block the guys in front of you to allow C.J. Stroud to be that quarterback? That's where I wanted the question is.
Yeah, I don't believe that they're bad. I'm with you that it took a step in the right direction. Things looked a lot better. I thought C.J. looked really, really good. Mm-hmm. Now, he had time to throw. Is that because the Niners were depleted? Probably. Was it because the Texans showed some improvement? Probably. Like, it's probably all of the above. It's all part of the variables, right? But I can't go all the way there. But I don't mind that CJ is, because I do want a confident quarterback. I do want a quarterback that actually believes it.
Yeah.
So I don't mind that he's going there at all, even if he's like telling himself a lie. That way he can work on the confidence and the swagger and all that stuff. But I don't believe they're all the way there. What do you think? 713-780-3776. Also, when do you think that CJ Stroud is at his best? Some people, when he's running. Oh, when you're rolling him out. Where do you think CJ Stroud is at his best? 713-780-3776. It's Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. YouTube customers, you could lose ESPN and the sports you love, including college football, college game day, Monday night football, NBA, college basketball, and more. Take action. Go to keepmynetworks.com to keep ESPN.
This is ESPN 97.5.
This is Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Some call me the Huntington Bank bad boy. Some are saying it. Sports Illustrated saying it. Other people are saying it. 713-780-3776. Texans, did they fix things offensively? Junkie, I believe they fixed something, because that pass to March in the flat is something CJ's not been doing enough of. That was a fluke play, though. Like, I don't want to sit there and point to that Woody March pass in the flat and then runs 50 yards untouched is like a staple of the Houston Texans offense. That was a busted coverage.
It'd be nice if it was, but I'm
like,
with you.
And look, I'm not taking it away from the Texans. Like, you need to take advantage of when another team has a busted coverage or a missed assignment. And that doesn't happen all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, there's offenses that miss those opportunities and quarterbacks who don't see those opportunities. So I'm not taking it away from the Texans offense. I'm not taking it away from C.J. Stroud. But because Woody Marks caught a pass in the flat and ran 50 yards untouched, wasn't this genius from Nick Haley. It was a busted coverage. Now, I think Nick Haley had a lot of good stuff against the Niners. I think Stroud had a lot of good stuff against the Niners. I'm just not ready to make that leap yet. Neither one of us are ready to make that leap just yet. CJ still misses too many easy throws, even against the Niners. See, I thought that early in the game, but I didn't think that after, like, the second drive of the game. After the third drive and on, he was phenomenal.
Yeah.
First couple of drives, he did have some errant throws, I admit.
But he's still, like, I mean, went 30 of 39 overall in the game. So, like, for the most part, I'm with you. Like, the early on, there was, like, one or two that stood out to me. But overall, like, he was really good in this game. I mean, I guess it's the best he's looked this season. It's not particularly close.
No, best in a long time. Another junkie, all capital letters. Absolutely bad word, not LMAO. I can't trust this offense until we see it consistently.
Yeah.
It's fair.
Absolutely.
I have no objection to that. I think it's a great point, junkie, even if it's all capital letters. Rocky, he says, F no, they ain't fixed. They put lipstick on a pig. He says, we need Breece Hall. We need David Njoku. Calls Casario casserole. Casserole needs to make moves like his job is on the line. See, here's where I'm at with the trade deadline, though, Joe. It's like, do we want Casario to trade a couple of mid-round draft picks for Breece Hall and David Njoku?
I mean, if you're going to trade for Breece, he's got to get a contract, is my firm belief. Like, you can't
have to do middle of the year.
I know, but like, I don't really want to trade for a guy and then watch him walk in free agency, because then you're losing draft capital for a nothing burger again, just like you did with Stephon Diggs. So like, if you're going to trade for him, you got to keep him.
Yeah.
Now, Schultz wasn't at practice today. So
DeMeco did say he expects him to practice later in the week, though.
Yeah, but he's looked banged up the last couple of games during the game. Like, he's been getting up slower. So Njoku would be interesting to me, even though I feel like when I've watched the Browns game, I don't feel like he moves particularly well anymore.
Really?
He just looks slower.
Really?
Maybe he's always looked that way, but like, I don't know. He just looks like he's not really moving and grooving out there.
You find yourself watching a lot of Browns games?
They're occasionally on Red Zone.
So you're making this like, conclusion based on a few red zone plays?
There's also times when I'm like desperate in fantasy, so I'm watching to see if Njoku's doing anything.
You just pull him off on a Sunday at noon. Like, yeah. Let's check in on the Browns. Yeah, you're doing a whole lot of that?
See what Dylan Gabriel's doing.
You have to follow two teams. You have to follow the Texans. You have to follow the Bears. And you're just like, hey, you know what? I'm going to see what David Njoku's up to.
I typically watch the Texans game at night.
Oh, you don't watch them live?
Depends on the day.
Sundays.
Well, it depends on what time they're playing and if the Bears are playing at the same time.
Okay.
Because I can't do two at once.
Bears get priority over Texans.
Well, I do a Bears show before I do a Texans show.
Okay.
So I watch that one live and then I rewatch the Texans or watch all the Texans game again later.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
And then how do you fit the Browns in between those?
Red zone's on the smaller TV.
Yeah, I see them in the red zone too, but they're probably one of the teams that are featured the fewest on red zone because they don't score many points.
That's true.
713-780-3776. Where do you think CJ Stroud is at his best? Like, where do you like to see him? How do you want to see him playing the game? He needs to run more. They need to roll him out more. He needs to stay in the pocket more. Where are you with that?
In a perfect situation, play action with good blocking. Like when he has to set up the run. And he has time back there. That's when he's at his absolute best, I think.
Okay. I hate him out of the pocket. Hate him out of the pocket. I think he's capable, but I think he is absolutely at his best whenever he's in the pocket. He's throwing from platform, ideally a clean pocket, which quarterback doesn't operate better out of a clean pocket. But I think that's whenever he's at his best. Snap, clean pocket, quick release, quick throw, anticipation, throwing it in the bucket. To me, I love him in the pocket. Yep. I think he's really good in the pocket.
I just think on the
play action. I don't want him to leave the pocket.
No, I only want him to leave the pocket when he's getting when they're getting dominated. Like at this Seattle game, that's the only time I would say, can you get CJ moving a little bit just to help him out because you can't protect these guys at all. I don't want to see him moving that much. And I think for the people that want to see him run more, I think he does his best running when he's in the pocket.
Yeah, I think it's whenever he escapes through the offensive line, whenever he gets the best runs. Well,
especially like when there's openings in the middle of the field, that's when he's at his best taking off. You don't want him running designed plays to the outside or even just trying to catch a corner. It's like when he's running north and south, when he does run, that's when he's at his best.
He did have I prefer that 100%. Now, he did have one where he was able to recognize like a free rusher off the edge and kind of spun around him and got like a first down, 10, 12-yard scamper, first down. Like, it's great that he has it all in his bag. But we're talking about where does he excel the best. I don't think it's the rollout. I don't think it's on the run. I think it's from a clean pocket. I think he excels there. 713-780-3776. Texter, CJ Ceiling is a Jake Plummer style. I don't see it. I don't see him as a Plummer style. I always viewed Plummer as kind of like running for his life. Like he was just trying to like survive with Arizona,
He's got a big arm, though.
He did have a big arm. See, I think he's a more athletic. I think the CJ Stroud ceiling is a more athletic Jared Goff. Like, right. He's never going to be Lamar. He's never going to be Josh Allen. He's never going to have that sort of athleticism. Maybe not even Mahomes. But I think he could. I think he has the potential and the ceiling of being a more athletic Jared Goff.
I'm with that.
I wouldn't even give him Burrow athleticism. I wouldn't even give him Burrow athleticism.
No, Burrow's sneaky athletic.
Yeah, he is.
So I think that's if you can be Goff in terms of the precision, like in taking the easy stuff and the big stuff, but also adding the athleticism that CJ has, like you have a top 10 quarterback easily.
Yeah, I don't think he has elite athleticism, but I think he has enough athleticism.
Yeah, he has enough.
I think so.
I still think people are deceived. I think it all goes back to the Georgia game still, where people are deceived by what they want to see from CJ Stroud running because he was so effective for Ohio State in that game. And it's like the lasting memory of him in college football. And it's just, he was never that guy ever in college football, except for that one game. That was the only moment.
He flat out talks about it. He's like, he thinks he's capable of running a bit, and he is. He's capable of doing it. He's never going to be elite at it, but he's capable of doing it. But I think if you ask CJ Stroud where he's at his best, it's like from the pocket dealing it out. He's flat out said it at press conferences. He goes, whenever I have the time to deal it out, I'm still up there as one of the best. I think in the pocket, he is one of the best in the pocket quarterbacks in the league. Texter says Dak Prescott could be his ceiling. It's hard to compare because they asked Dak Prescott to be like kind of a gunslinger. Mm-hmm. I really don't want CJ to be a gunslinger, but maybe just in terms of talent, that's a fair comparison. Because Dak is another quarterback who is an elite athlete, but he's athletic enough.
Yeah, it's so weird because we haven't seen Dak in like in a great situation yet either, it feels like, or at least in years.
Like I think he's in a good offensive situation.
But he's always playing behind or having to score 40 points in a game. Like, yeah. I wonder like what he would look like with a Texans defense.
Like as a game manager?
Yeah, what would it be? I mean, and maybe it would make him even better than he is right now because he's been fantastic this season.
Last time they had a good defense, they won double-digit games. What was it, like 2-3 years ago? They were that year that they won a bunch of games? Because mm-hmm. they were, I think it was 2 years ago. I think it was in 23. They had a top 10 defense and they won 12 games or whatever it was. AJ would know.
Yeah, it was 2023.
It was 23. They had a top, I think it was like maybe even top 5.
Yeah.
And then they won how many games that year?
12. They went 12-5, 21, 22, and 23.
Yeah, and then they lost in the divisional round or wild card round? Was it wild card or divisional round?
Wild card.
Yeah. Wild card that year. 2022 was divisional.
Texture, I prefer them in the pocket. This junkie, it's crazy. The greatest indicator of the Texans' offense is the pass rush of the opposing team. Can y'all do a cross-reference of our wins against the strength of the opponent's D-line? Man, those are billable hours, man. You're asking me to do that kind of research? I charge for that. Those are billable hours. I'll send you an invoice. Give me your email. Cross-reference that.
We could do it pretty simple, though.
You got it?
Titans pass rush? Not that good.
Oh, you're just going off litmus test.
Yeah. Ravens pass rush? Not good.
Yeah.
Ravens? I mean, 49ers? Not good.
They weren't good against you.
Rams was good. Buccaneers was good. Jags was good. Seahawks was good.
There you go. Joe will do it for free.
3-4.
I charge for that kind of research. Joe will do it for free. Jeremy, last week you said if the Texans do not get 300 yards and 30 points against the Seahawks, you're all the way out. That's not what I said. I did not say that. I said if they get 30 points, that I would be all the way in. I think I said 400 yards. I don't think I said 300. 300 yards and 30 points don't really add up. Like, the Texans just put up 475 yards and scored, what was it, 26 points?
It might have been 300
points.
From CJ, you said?
I think that might have been it. Maybe 300 from CJ. I don't remember the exact thing. But no, I didn't say I would be all the way out if they didn't reach those numbers. I said I would be all the way in if they hung 30 against Seattle. But he says if the Texans get 300 yards and 30 points against the Broncos, would you put yourself back in believing in the Texans offense? I'm not 300 yards. 300 yards isn't a great number. Against Denver would be okay. But if they hang up a 30 burger against Denver, will I be all the way back in believing on the Texans offense? That's a great question. What do the Texans have to do Sunday for you to be all the way back in on the Texans offense? 713-780-3776. I'll just go the points. If they put a 30 burger together, look, here's another caveat here, is you can score defensive touchdowns. You can score special team touchdowns.
If the offense scores 30 points.
If the offense scores 30 points, yeah, I'll be all the way back in on the Houston Texans offense.
As long as Kaimi has less than 12 of those points, I'm good. I need more touchdowns.
Even then, man, that's a lot of scoring drives.
Yes,
you said less than how many? 12? So, I mean, if he puts, even then, if he makes 4 field goals and you score 18 more points, you have to score 3 more touchdowns to do that.
That's
7 scoring drives. That means you're scoring on every
drive.
That
would be pretty good, now that I think about it.
Because you're usually getting probably on average 4 or 5 possessions per half. That's 8, 9, 10, somewhere between 8 to 10 possessions. And we just said they're going to score 9 times?
I will say, like, if they score 30 points and have 400 yards, 300 from CJ, or just 400 yards total, I'm back in.
What was your number?
400 yards total.
400 yards total or?
And 30 points.
See, I think I said 400 yards, not 300. Yeah. 400 yards or 30 points. See, here's the thing with the yards, though.
They
could have a game what they just did. They could have a game where because this past game, they put, what was it, 400 yards? And they scored 26 points.
But that's where, to me, like, you have to have both of them. Because until they start converting in the red zone, I can't be all the way back in.
Yeah, it's like, critical.
And you're not going to get over 30 points if you go 1-for-5 in the red zone. You're just not going to do it. So if they have over 30 points, it means they had good red zone offense, most likely. Because you're probably not going to be hitting big plays all the time. They're not hitting a ton of big plays right now for touchdowns.
Yeah, they had 475 against the Niners for 26 yards.
Yeah.
Like, they got to get, yeah, I'm with you.
400 yards, 30 points. I'm back in.
I'm good with that.
Because then you start rolling. Like, the conversation changes. Look, you do that, you've got one of the best defenses in the NFL. You got the Jags and the Titans coming up after that. Like, you're cooking at that point.
And we're not saying that's the expectation.
No.
We're just saying that's what it's going to take for us to be like, okay, we're all in on the Texans, baby.
Yeah.
We're bullish on the Texans. We're swarming with the Texans.
Swarm.
That's what it's going to take. It's going to take a 30-point, 400-yard performance. Because, like, look, they just put 475 against the Niners, who aren't a bad defense. Depleted, sure.
Depleted, but...
But they've had, like, good body of work this year, statistically. They just put 475 yards against them, but only scored 26 points, and we're still kind of like, eh!
Yeah, and even, like, the 475 yards, it's even though they are depleted, it's still... That's so many yards. That's still impressive. No matter what, no matter who you're facing, honestly.
Yeah. 713-780-3776. I'm right there. Well, what's it going to take for you to buy the Texans offense, to be bullish on the Texans offense? Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. What does his name say here, H? I'm blind. Jamal. Jamal, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's up, Jamal?
Give me anything.
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
Just talking about sports.
Yeah, yeah, we got you.
Hey, I think C.J. Stroud would be very good if the Texans always implement a six-line offensive line, six-man offensive line. He thrives well in that.
Okay. Appreciate it, Jamal.
I like that they did it. I just don't know if it's sustainable. And some of the times they went with six offensive linemen, they still couldn't run the ball. That third and one before the field goal, the first field goal of the game, they brought Blake Fisher on the field.
Yeah.
And they still got stuff behind the line of scrimmage.
I mean, I don't know why it's – I mean, I don't think they're going to do a whole lot of six offensive linemen stuff.
You think that was like a one game?
No.
Run it 26 times?
I think that'll be the high water mark, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to see many games where they snap it 26 times with six linemen. I think it was a product of a lot of things. I think it was a product of protection. I think it was a product of lack of receivers. Like, you didn't have Nico Collins and Christian Kirk in this game. I think it was lack of tight ends. So, yeah, I would be surprised if we see a six-lineman game with that many snaps.
Now, I do think it looks like they're still going to have two tight ends on the roster unless they make an addition before Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's the case, that's going to add back to what you're saying, more of the six-man. Sixth offensive line.
Well, they signed the Keen guy to the practice squad, so they could activate
him.
Okay. Yeah, they also opened the window on Jakob Johnson today, which he can kind of, you know, hybrid. I don't know if he'll be available Sunday.
But he could be. Yeah. Little fullback tight end action.
And then Schultz might not be available. Who knows? He didn't practice today, although D'Amico says he does expect him to practice. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Aiden Hutchinson today got a four-year, $180 million extension, 141 guaranteed. Are you willing to pay Will Anderson that much? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. First, I got to tell you about the greatness of Underdog. Underdog is fantastic. It is the very, very best. You can play a lot of stuff on Underdog. You can play your basketball. You can play your football. It depends on the day of the week, right? Fast breaks, buzzer beaters, block parties are back, baby. Underdog is the best place to get in on all the action all season long. Texas is the best place to play on Underdog, too. Playing on Underdog is so easy. Just pick whether your favorite players will go higher or lower on stats like points, rebounds, steals, much, much more. Get your picks right. You can win up to 5,000 times your cash. What are you waiting for? You go download the Underdog app right now. Put in that promo code KILLERB. Just put in $5. Enter the promo code, put in $5. It's less than your ham sandwich that you're about to eat for your dinner. It's less than your cup of coffee some places. So download the Underdog app, put in $5, and because Underdog is taking care of you, they're going to give you $100 in bonus funds or bonus entries, and then you could potentially win up to 5,000 times your cash. It's a no-brainer. Why haven't you downloaded the app already? But get your picks right. Win up to 5,000 times your cash. You can play a little Raptors-Rockets tonight. A little early start, too, by the way. But it's going to be a fun one as the Rockets try to win back-to-back games. Maybe you want to get your picks on your favorite players there. Kevin Durant, what's his higher or lower for points tonight? 25.5? How do you feel about that? You think Kevin Durant goes higher or lower? R.J. Barrett for the Raptors, the other side of things, 17.5 points, higher or lower there? You know ball, go prove it. Alpi Şengün, 21.5 points, higher or lower there? You can put in the rebounds, the blocks, the assists, the steals, whatever. And again, it's $5. Promo code KILLERB, $100 in bonus funds or bonus entries come your way. So download the Underdog app right now. Sign up with promo code KILLERB to score $100 in bonus funds or bonus entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code KILLERB, K-I-L-L-E-R-B. Underdog, make picks, win money.
Must be 18 or older and present in Texas. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms _DFS_HTML for details. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
Loaded and ready to rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from inside the Huntington Bank Studios
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You know what they call me? The Jay Brizzler.
Jay Brizzler?
Mm-hmm. You see what Magic Johnson had to say about Game 5 of the World Series?
I missed it.
Irvin Magic Johnson. With the series being 2-2, Game 5 is very important. Oh. Whichever team wins takes control of the series! Exclamation wow. mark.
He's so good.
He's very good.
What a great analyst.
Yeah.
Really breaks it down for you.
They had him. He wasn't he on TNT for a while? I think he was. Or maybe he was kind of a fill-in, like he would come in every now and then.
He was on something.
I'm pretty sure that he was.
That was ESPN.
Was it ESPN?
I think okay. so.
Yeah. I don't have great memories of him as an analyst. You know who else was like great player that was really, really bad? Joe Montana. He was terrible.
Really?
Yeah, he was on the desk for a while.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, it was very forgettable. Very forgettable. He was very, very bad. Probably before your time. You're so young. You're the oldest looking 30-year-old I've ever seen.
That's not good.
It could go either way.
I'm 33.
Could go either way. 713-780-3776.
I got ID'd at the casino this weekend. That made me feel good about myself.
What's that?
I got ID'd at the casino.
Did you really?
That made me feel good about myself.
Where were you going?
Into the casino?
They ID everybody.
Well, then that, like, it was only one time, though. Like, the other, like, three or four times we walked in there, they just let me through.
That's funny.
So, one out of four? All right. So, one person I look under 21.
I can't remember the last time.
Or at least questionable.
That was ID'd. Texture, thanks, Magic. That's what I said, too. I responded to Magic because we go way back. Another junkie, only score matters, only winning matters. Time of possession, yards, et cetera, mean nothing if you don't score. I mean, yes, in the grand scheme of things, only winning matters. But if the Texans win 13-10, that's on the backs of their defense. No one's like, oh, yeah, we totally believe in this offense.
Yeah.
And look, yes, winning's more important than our belief in the offense. That's totally true. It's more of a sidebar conversation where what's it going to take for us to buy into the offense? I like Joe's parameters where it's 400 yards, 30 points. We're buying in. I don't think any of us expect that to happen. But if they do, it's like, oh, okay, oh, snap. All right.
Well, and it's also like if they put up that performance, you buy in, you can also just – so I think that's where you start to be able to talk yourself into how far this team can go. What kind of a run can they put together? You know, if they can put up this offensive performance against the Denver Broncos, like where else can they go? Can they, you know, take both games from the Colts and, like, really make this an interesting conversation throughout the season for the division, for the playoffs, all of it? If they can't score on offense, they got no hopes and prayers to make the playoffs this year. That's why it matters.
Yeah, I agree with you. All right, so Aiden Hutchinson got paid today, Joe. He got paid a lot
Lots of money.
Second most money for a defensive end in all of football, or edge rusher, whatever we're calling these guys these days. 4 years, $180 million, $141 guaranteed. This is I think it's the baseline for Will Anderson. I don't think it's the framework. I think it's the baseline of Will Anderson. Aiden Hutchinson was drafted a year before Will Anderson. Will Anderson's going to be eligible for a contract extension this offseason if Nick Caserio is the guy negotiating his contract. Caserio always takes care of his players that he wants to keep. He's famous for that, assuming that he's still the general manager. Are you willing to pay Will Anderson a minimum, in my opinion, of 4 years, $180 million with $141 guaranteed?
Absolutely. Wouldn't think twice. Pay him. He deserves it. You look at any statistic, basically. The advanced stuff, the basic stuff, he's on par with all these guys in terms of getting to the quarterback. Maybe the sack numbers aren't always there, the forced fumble numbers, but like he's one of the best pass rushers in the NFL. I'm not even questioning it. I'm locking him up immediately because the longer you wait, the other guys are going to get paid. It's just going to get more and more expensive, and you don't want to ever be in the position of what the Cowboys were in or what the Bengals have put themselves in with Trey Hendrickson. Like, you have to pay him at the top of the market with what he's worth. So, yeah, if you can sign him March 4th or whenever the new league calendar opens for next year, I'm paying him at midnight.
I think Caserio will too. Caserio, well, it might not be right when it opens up because I think Caserio likes to handle free agency and then get it done late in the offseason. Like, you go look at Derek, like, when did Derek Stingley sign? Derek Stingley signed late in the offseason. I think he likes to get the free agency stuff. He likes to operate from that window. And then when that kind of dies down is whenever he locks players up in that window. Just don't use that word window around Nick Caserio. So, but I do believe that next offseason, the next one coming up, the 2026 offseason, that Will Anderson Jr. will get at minimum what Aiden Hutchinson got paid today, which Aiden Hutchinson is the second highest paid per year edge rusher in the NFL at 45. Micah Parsons is 46.5.
Okay.
So I think it'll be more than Hutchinson, but I don't think it'll be more than Parsons.
Yeah, because Parsons can do a little bit of everything. Plus, there's always going to be a little juice on that contract because he was traded for him from Green Bay.
You know, right? Kasario might just pay him more than Parsons because he doesn't screw around. Kasario does not screw around with extensions. I would be around like 46, but what's the difference between 46 and 47?
Yeah, just pay it.
Like, I think Kasario is going to give – if I had to make a prediction right now today, how much does Will Anderson get paid on an average annual basis? I think it's going to be $46.6 million, maybe $47 million. And I think that the guarantee will be at least $141.
Mm-hmm. I'm with all of that. It's deserved. He's a monster. Derek Stingley Jr. was paid on March 17th.
So it was early.
So it's early.
Okay, my bad.
So I just get it done as soon as possible. Like, I don't know who else in his draft class would be up next, or in Aiden Hutchinson's draft class, but you don't want to even risk it. Like, you just want to get these things done.
Are you talking about positionally?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, in terms of a contract.
Because I was about to say CJ Stroud.
Yeah. Well, and you're prioritizing Will over CJ, right?
I don't know, man. I don't know. Quarterback position is pretty important.
Yeah, but CJ hasn't earned it.
I don't know. Quarterback position is pretty important. I think they believe in CJ, too. I don't think that they believe CJ is the one that's the reason for their offense kind of sputtering.
Yeah, I just...
No, I don't think they're going to pay CJ top of the quarterback market. Like, I think they're going to pay Will. But I'm not sure that Will is going to be the priority over CJ. I think they're both going to be on equal footing.
Yeah, you just want to get it done as soon as possible for both guys.
Yeah, I think so. Like, you might be able to talk Stroud, you know, off a few million. Like, he might not be the second highest paid quarterback in the NFL, nor should he, mm-hmm. based on the offensive performance to date. But I do think that they're both going to be highly, highly critical for their offseason next year.
Yeah.
Which is why I don't want to trade a bunch of draft picks, by the way.
No, because they're going to have to use those draft picks to be able to fill out your roster. I mean, you're going to have, just a rough guess here, Jeremy, like $160 million probably wrapped up in Will Anderson, CJ Stroud, Derek Stingley Jr., and Nico Collins.
That's a lot.
That's just a rough guess.
Would you rather have Will Anderson or Jahmyr Gibbs, Sam LaPorta, in a future first?
Will Anderson.
Really?
I don't want to pay Jahmyr Gibbs.
Okay. All right. So you would go Will Anderson over Gibbs, LaPorta, and a future first.
Because if you look at, they need a running back. But they've gotten by with trading a seventh-round pick for Joe Mixon, using a late-round pick on Woody Marks. Like, could they can get Breece Hall this offseason or Etienne, one of these guys on the market for cheap, most likely.
Mm-hmm.
And we would be going to the draft next year saying they still need the impact pass rusher.
Yeah.
Now, maybe Grenard's still here. But no, you probably don't have Grenard and Daniel Hunter.
No, you wouldn't have both.
You'd only have one. So, yeah, I would take Will Anderson.
Interesting.
That's the kind of player you need. Like, no, I don't think Kayvon Thibodeau's going to be – he's up for a contract. I mean, he's in trade rumors, so he's probably not getting paid. He's probably – maybe George Karloftis.
I mean, I think the defensive player there is Jalen Carter, but he's not really an edge. But he'll still get paid.
I think Karloftis is worth that.
Well, I mean, Karloftis, just because you get an extension doesn't have to mean that it's top of the market.
Yeah, he's not towards the top.
No, he's more second, third tier extension. He's not going to be in the $45 million range.
Yeah, Lucas Van Ness is in Will Anderson's class. He's not in that grouping of players.
No, he's more Karloftis.
I would lean towards just pay him now, and I would worry about getting Will Anderson done first, personally.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're both going to be very critical for the Texans.
Do you think they both get done?
Yeah, I do. Kasario signs his guys, man. Like, he does. He signs his guys. He's proven it time after time. Yeah, I think they'll both get done. All right, 713-780-3776. Let's get to our mailbag. What are your questions for Jeremy and Joe on this beautiful Wednesday? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. YouTube TV customers, you could lose ESPN and the sports you love, including college football, college game day, Monday night football, NBA, college basketball, and more. Take action. Go to keepmynetworks.com to keep ESPN.
ESPN 97.5.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion. It's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.